I'm glad you're taking time to call Stories and Stuff here in Minneapolis. This is Joy Bubbles, your storyteller. And if you use the number with beginning with 612 or 773, then you can dial 0 for instructions on how to use this new system. Well, today I'm going to tell you a story and read you a story. I was sitting in Perkins Restaurant one day around here in Minneapolis and just enjoying some steak and eggs and big orange juice and hash browns, and the food was so good. But I found myself, I don't know why, I got thinking of hugs. I had my huggable globe with me that I kind of hold and hug and visualize world peace, and I was thinking, boy, I'd sure like to have a hug right now. But, you know, I knew that, you know, it wasn't something that would happen. When a few minutes later, as if somebody just read my thoughts somehow, a lady came over and just said, "Oh, you need a hug." And she just gave me a surprise hug without even knowing me. She sounded like maybe a teenager, maybe somebody in their 20s. I wasn't sure. And about the time she gave me this wonderful hug, and I stood up and joined in it real good and hugged her back. And about that time, another lady, maybe her caregiver, ran over and said, "Don't you bother people like that. Oh, I'm so sorry, honey. She has Down syndrome." And I said, "Well, that may be Down syndrome, but it, for me it was Up syndrome. I was thinking, just thinking of how nice it would be to have a hug, never thinking I'd actually get one. And here she just comes over out of the blue and gives me a very unexpected hug." And the lady said, "Well, you know, they do have a lot of times, a lot of them that I take care of," she said, "do have quite an emotional intelligence. They seem to connect with people in a rather social way. We know how to reach out when other people would be inhibited, you know." And, "Yeah, see, I told you he wanted a hug." So that was my surprise for the day. Well, here is a story from a book called Every Living Thing by Cynthia Ryland, R-O-Y-L-A-N-T. And the story is slower than the rest. Leo was the first one to spot the turtle, so he was the one who got to keep it. They had all been in the car driving up Tyler Mountain to church when Leo shouted, "There's a turtle!" and everyone's head jerked with the stop. Leo's father grumbled something about turtle soup, but Leo's mother was sympathetic towards turtles, so Leo was allowed to pick it up off the highway and bring it home. Both his little sisters squealed when the animal stuck its ugly head out to look at them, and they thought its claws horrifying, but Leo loved it from the start. He named it Charlie. The dogs at Leo's house had always belonged more to Leo's father than to anyone else, and the cat thought she belonged to no one but herself, so Leo was grateful for a pet of his own. He settled Charlie in a cardboard box, threw in some lettuce and radishes, and declared himself